And 2 weeks of term two to go, and we're back for our second last Zav Chat of the first semester. In fact, Bill, it was a great experience last week to look back, and we had the fellow David from the King's School, that whole chat about character formation. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, loved it. And g'day, Wilbur.
G'day, Mr. Doherty. Yeah, on the values driven and the formation of boys and creating a culture, I think that ties into our episode today, Mr. Doherty.
I couldn't agree more. I was going to say exactly the same. And we want to take it a step further now. We've got some really special guests to help us do that. And, you know, one of the lovely things we speak about is the holistic nature of life at Xavier and not being one-dimensional and having a whole lot of different experiences and opportunities for boys to grow and develop. And I think we'll get into that really nicely today, Shane.
So we've gone to the top shelf, haven't we, Bill? We've got the soccer coach in George Campbell and our footy coach in Robbie Tarrant. And then we've taken it off in a slightly different direction with Zach Von Hoff, who is the director of the upcoming winter play, which everyone's raving about. So why don't we introduce him? George, morning.
Morning. How are you?
Oh, hell no. I'm fantastic being in your presence. And Robbie Tarrant, who, of course, is coaching the first 18. Good to see you, Rob.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. And Zach, winter play approaching.
Yeah, they're early in term three, so very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, wonderful. Hey, great having you. We're really looking forward to this chat ahead. But, you know, maybe, George, we might even sort of start over you. You've been, been in our programs for quite a while now and not only just in our soccer program on a Saturday, but also taking tours overseas. And you've got to see a fair bit of our boys, you know, over quite a journey now. Maybe just a little bit of a sense from you of what's the sort of the caliber of boy that you're seeing, coming through our doors?
I think the caliber of boy and the values that obviously have been exposed to them by the school have certainly improved. And I think we throw the word values around very loosely, I think. And it's something I've been very, very keen on implementing from probably about 2010.
Yes.
Before I started at Xavier, I worked in the corporate world and I was employed to lead high-powered teams, you know, at the RACV.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about values and value-driven leadership. And I think it's about getting that culture right with the values and then making sure that the values have been adhered to. At the same time, having your own, I guess, framework that is non-negotiable, because you have to have a non-negotiable framework in order for the values to work.
Yeah, beautifully said there. We're looking forward to sort of unpack. You've taken us right to, if you like, our core themes for the day. And
yeah.
We're noticing, values of what's in our DNA, who are we as Xaverians, I think has been well known over the course of time. But each generation, you know, maybe comes at it in its own way. And what changes is all those other inputs that are going into these young men. So the young men of the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s growing up, they're just growing up in a different era with different conditions and nuances. And, you know, you spoke there about, you know, from 2010 on, you know, how the boys have also played a part in the articulation of those values. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think ownership from the boys is obviously the most crucial part of it. Hmm. They have to take ownership of it. And your job as a leader, it's important to try and facilitate that so that they actually take ownership of their values and their behaviours.
Robbie Bowden, we'd just bring you into the conversation for a bit. I was reflecting earlier today, actually, I think it was about 2020, and a cohort of footy players, it was about my sort of third year in the college, put a real focal point on values. And I hadn't maybe seen it quite as evident, to be honest, before that. And I was just delighted. This, of course, was a cohort who then went on to never kick a ball in Agatha through the whole season.
It was that
right in the heart of
year.
COVID. It was awful. But I saw this wonderful group of young men who seized onto what's going to drive us and shape us and develop our culture this year. So maybe a little bit from you, you know, in the present now, of how do you see the boys inform the values? Maybe, you know, what processes do you go through to bring these values out in the boys and shape it for, you know, season 2025?
Yeah, it's a great question. And values like what happens with George and the soccer are really important in the football program. And we did a fair bit of work on our team values while we were down in Lawn on the pre-season camp, which was really valuable for us. But so respect, united, discipline and compete are our four values. But then what's really important is showing the boys what that looks like in terms of behaviours that fall under those values. So we, at the end of our match review, give some vision to the boys, which will be probably five minutes on behaviours throughout the game that we've seen that helps bring out the values to the boys. And then it's amazing what they thrive off that. And then you see the values coming forward in the next week and the training and all that sort of stuff. So yes, it's super important.
Isn't that a fantastic thing? You know, and I'm sure there were some moments that led to goals or the conceded goals, et cetera, but I love the fact that you're taking bits of vision which bring out values, not just a goal or a point or, you know, what won the game. And I dare say it's these values being lived and evident that actually does its part in winning a game or losing a game.
It does. And we've played in a lot of close games this year. And to be fair, it's the values and those behaviours that have kept us in those games. And you think back to round one against Scotch when we're 40-odd points down, and the ability to be united, compete, stick to your role, be disciplined, and have respect for the jumper really got us across the line in that round one game.
Isn't that superb with yourself? And, you know, world of sport, you know, you take care of all of the skills and the micro elements, and then the scoreboard just looks after itself. And it's lovely to sort of hear that coming through. And I was lucky enough to be on the boundary line with you on that afternoon that you mentioned at Scotch. And again, things that struck me was just the absolute calmness and the thoughtfulness and the little bits of care and the thoughtful commentary that went in. There wasn't panic, there wasn't shouting, there wasn't, you know, gesticulating wildly. And I saw it rub off in the boys, and with a wonderful sense also of self-belief.
It was a pretty special day.
Yeah, it's just so interesting, Robbie and Mr. Doherty and Shane. I think last week we talked about measuring character, and character is something that we value because it's something that we value and we should measure it. So last week we had a guy named David on who he's doing a whole bunch of work on ways in which we can measure character through rubrics, and he's doing a PhD on it and stuff like that. And here I'm hearing in the football program, for example, just a simple viewing session is a way that we're already measuring character and how we're measuring values in our game. So I just wanted to pick up on that, and that's just drawing a link from last week, something awesome that we're already doing.
And we might roll to you, Zach, with your directing of the winter play. And we thought, it's not sport, but there's probably a whole lot of similarities. So in hearing George and Robbie, how would you describe the culture as you bring the people together for the winter play in terms of values and expectations?
Yeah, I was reflecting on, I guess, how I might start a process. And I think that idea of the team and the camaraderie and building trust amongst my ensemble members is super important. So I might spend the first couple of rehearsals not even dealing with the play itself, but actually talking about what they do want to get out from this experience and how they want to connect with each other. Because if my actors don't support each other, then that's going to be reflected on stage. And then that's when we're going to have dropped lines or someone not be able to come in and help the other person out. And a lot of shows that we do work with that idea of the ensemble. And so a lot of actors on stage all at the same time doing similar things, working together. And so the need for them to be able to support each other, trust each other, that person's going to be there, is super, super important. So, yeah, I think it's just about how we begin that whole process and making sure that we've grounded them in, I guess, the values that they want to see at the end of the production. And if you don't start like that, then you're not going to have the amazing end product that we have and we can produce here at Xavier in our musicals, in our winter productions.
So well said, Zach. I'd love just to shine a torch for a little bit at the moment onto pressure. Now, we're dealing in an age of mental health challenge. We were aware of that. Resilience is a bit of a sort of a buzzword at times. You know, you're all dealing in high-pressured situations, you know, playing in the first 11 soccer team, the first 18 football team, taken to the stage for a winter play, which is so significant in the lives of these boys. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the lights come on and it's opening night and pressure's on, you know, or particular games, and every sort of game's important to our boys. You know, they love representing the college. So I'd love your reflections on how you see boys dealing with pressure. I once had a coach, mentor that I work with said, you know, performance equals skill under pressure. You know, we can train and have lovely little sort of moments, etc., but execution, you know, where it comes down to the execution of skill under pressure, that equals performance. There's an interesting thing, Wilbur, I know you've just done the GAT, and, you know, these examinations, that's performance is skill under pressure, time pressure, big moments, etc. So maybe just to each of you, how do you see our boys dealing with pressure in the current year? You know, what words of wisdom have you got and thoughts, and, you know, how do you guide boys in these moments? Robbie, let's start with you.
Yeah, we actually do a fair bit of stuff on the mindset and things that we can control. And, you know, we call it A times B, which was big when I was at Richmond. So your A game, what that looks like, and your B game, these negative thoughts that come in, pressure's one of those. And we do, a lot of work on when you're in your B game and you're feeling, you know, you've had a skill error, conditions, umpire decisions, whatever the B game thought is then bringing you back to your A game and what that looks like. So we try and arm these boys with tools that they can then bring into whatever it is, if it is you know, your exams today or mistakes on the football field. But it will generally be a life skill that hopefully we can teach them that they can take forward.
Superb. George, you know, what are you?
Yeah, I think the pressure is something that is self inflicted in a lot of times, and I think as a coach, you have to be able to read your players and you have to understand them, because a lot of times in training, we call them Wembley wizards. They train great, but when it comes to Saturday, they go missing. There's been a couple of times this year. I had a young lad in goals down at Geelong recently, and he made a couple of errors which cost goals, and he was really beating himself up, you know. So we pulled him aside and we said, look, mistakes happen. It's inevitable. It's just unfortunate that happened to you today, but, you know, you've got to, it's about how you react to it, you know. So what we're looking for is your body language and seeing a more confident approach to the way you go about fixing this, because that's how, how we see you fixing it, by looking at you. We do the video analysis on a Tuesday, and that's that's used to try and allow the boys to visualise the good moments in the game, but also the not so good moments in the game. And I think, you know, in soccer, I'm not sure if it's in footy, Rob, or in music, but there's a lot said about systems. What system of play do you play? I have never seen a system of play win a game. Players win the game.
Yeah.
And I think you've, as a coach, you have to make the players comfortable in what you're asking them to do, and sometimes challenge them and really force them and push them to the edge without putting them over the edge. And I think if you can get that right in coaching, I think you're a long way to getting success, because it doesn't matter about systems or, you know, what game it is what we're playing. It's about consistency, and consistency in your approach.
I was going to talk to you about the craft of coaching and, you know, what, you know, little bits of tips you might have for some of those younger people who are starting out their journey. But Zach, you know, tell us a little bit about sort of the dealing with pressure and, you know, maybe how you construct these elements and on the stage.
Yeah, I think every performer feels that sense of nerves and anxiety before they step onto stage. And I always talk about that being a really good thing and an important thing that they have. The reality is things go wrong during performances. You know, a lighting cue won't come on, or the sound cue won't happen, or people will forget their lines. And so on stage, the show must go on. You have to react to that and you have to bounce back really quickly. So unfortunately for them, they just have to like ride that wave and go through it. And there's no chance for you to fix that or go back and do it again. So obviously something like a rehearsal and dress rehearsals and, you know, pre-performances or previews, doing them under, you know, an audience is really super important. But also then, you know, they get to come back and do it a second night or a third night or a fourth night, which is really great as well. And they get to improve upon the things that they, you know, weren't so great or weren't happy with the night before. So, yeah, I guess it's just about it's quite a resilient experience, because mistakes are going to happen and they just have to go along with that and reflect on that later, and then that's their opportunity to improve.
But I must admit, I always love seeing that last night where, you know, they've done it now for three or four times and you can just see the confidence picking, and they've probably had a few, you know, and they've learnt, you know, to get over a few little stumbly moments. And so you almost see these invincible actors, you know, taking to the stage. It's this wonderful sense of energy and confidence, etc. And could I ask it, like, do you ever deliberately practice some of those moments, like just put boys into a scenario where you know the lighting cue doesn't work, or there's, you're going to put a gap in just to tease it out of them a little bit earlier?
There's quite a secretive director's tool. I don't know if I should be giving this away, but to give some pretty harsh critical feedback to them after the final dress rehearsal, or even after their opening night. When they feel that sense that they've, you know, accomplished something and done really well, and to kind of give them a lot of pointers to work on and say, that wasn't quite good enough and you need to actually attain these markers for your next performance or tomorrow night.
Keep striving.
Because otherwise, I guess there is that sense of that we're good enough or we've done it. As a director watching a show, you could go through the entire season and never have a perfect show. So
I think this will be one of those episodes of Zav Chat which every parent at Xavier should be hearing, because this is fascinating stuff. I'll start with you this time, Zach. Just quick answers this time, because I know Wilbur's lining up to ask. What's, in your world, Zach, what would you say as close as you can to the perfect culture that you would like to see operational and strive for?
I'm a huge team player. I'm a very positive person. Something I've said to my actors before is, you've all chosen to be here and you do it because you love it. So I'm a positive person, and I want that to be part of my culture and my ensemble as well, that we're all there and we're all building each other up. Because as soon as some of that negativity comes in, I think that's where some of the doubt comes in as well. If someone's putting another actor down, then that's where we'll start to like not be as confident on stage, and we think we don't deserve to be there.
Thanks, Zach. That's a great answer. George?
My preferred culture, well, it's all about the boys enjoying themselves. When I see them enjoying themselves, I can get a feeling that we're going to do well. Especially in training, even though the training will be intense. Once I see the smiles on the faces and them having a laugh and a joke with each other, I think that is when you're getting to the edge of getting the perfect culture, and them caring for the school and themselves.
Yeah, gee, great answers. Robbie, I get down to the first training a bit, and it's very much like a well-oiled machine. What's the culture you'd strive for?
Yeah, I'd probably touch on both of those as well. Like, the enjoyment factor has to be there. Like, these boys put so much time into it, and there are so many mistakes along the way that happens that if you don't enjoy it, it does become too hard. So that's certainly one aspect to it. There's obviously a standards piece as well that comes into it, where although we know that there are going to be mistakes made, we've sort of got to put in the right methods in place where they can execute the standards as best they can, and that's probably the main two things. But just really impressed with what our group does in terms of the culture that they've built, because the players really drive this. Like, we set up a a loose environment for them to grow in, and then they just really take it on and just drive it forward, and been super impressed with the footy boys.
Thanks, Rob. Wilbur?
Yeah, we're speaking about culture, and at the end of the day, in my opinion, culture is just a word, and it's nothing unless you have action behind it. So as coaches and as mentors, and speaking about culture in the sense that it helps us win, like Robbie, you've said in this podcast that you think your values and your culture have gotten you over the line in those close games this year. How do you coach that culture, and how do you coach the buy-in for the culture and the shared values that you've created as the head coaches of these important teams and groups for the winter play? How are you making the boys buy into that?
Yeah, look, it's funny, you know, we've had a very average season, I believe, and I think the boys would agree with this, this season, and it came off the back of winning a premiership last year. This is the first year in the number of years I've been here that we haven't actually done a value session like Robbie has done, going away for a weekend and getting a bonding session in the very beginning. And I don't think our culture in the firsts this year has been as good as it should be. And I put it down to the fact that we didn't get our preparation right this year. So it's something that we're going to rectify for next year.
It's a beautifully reflective comment there, George.
So because the players are good enough, there's no doubt about their ability, because we've got some real top talent there. But individually, it's not good enough. It's got to be a collective, and we don't have that collective as far as I'm concerned this year.
I saw a game finish on the last kick, I think, when the opposition just zipped one in from draw to loss in the space of 5 seconds. How do you, you know, take that on with the boys? Do you talk about that straight away? Do you leave it till Tuesday?
I don't like talking about it straight after the game because everybody's emotional. I don't think it's the right time personally. I might say the wrong thing. I'm very guarded with what I say after a game. We leave it to the Tuesday, sure. Let the boys reflect. Gives me time to settle down again. but that particular game was against Kerry, and the boys had done so well to get back into that game because we were 2-0 down.
And drew level.
And we drew level, and it was just a gut-wrencher, you know, for that goal to go in. And I guess that sums up our season.
I'm interested. You know, often we think about all of these cultural traits or values led things that might lead to success. I often also find that it's the perfect elements, though, that when you don't always win. You know, and Zach, as you were saying before, like not every performance is perfect. In fact, they often rarely are. And so, you know, when the values of a team are great, you've got that ability to draw on that in those lower moments and keep you stable and thoughtful. And Robbie, you know, maybe even in your season, you've had some extraordinarily, you know, wonderful wins and then some heart-wrenching losses, incredibly close, you know, 5 points, 1 point. Do you see it similarly? Or?
Yeah, it does. And then you value you don't value the result, you value your culture and your values. And so in that aspect, then you can draw on it a little bit more. You know, I also see my role, especially post-game, is to guide the guys through the emotions of what it looks like. So we'll be generally pretty calm, give them one or two things that maybe went well, one or two things that didn't go so well, but just to give them some clarity. And then we have this 24-hour rule where 24 hours on, we're post, and then we know come Tuesday night we're going to train really well. So we're sort of trying to take although the results are super important, we know that they are important, we're trying to take that away from the from it, draw on our culture, on our values, and then whatever the result will be. But it does set the boys up for something that they can control out there, because as we sort of know, with no matter what, whether it's sport or drama or schooling, like there are going to be mistakes made. It's how we move forward from that.
Is that a lovely that comment? And our boys draw so much from how their coaches and their role models and their mentors sort of approach these scenarios. You can see, I think it's very, very evident. You know, one of the things in rugby that we do is, you know, whenever there's a stoppage in play and you might be giving a little bit of an input session in the nature of that game, it's, you know, it's what are we doing well? One message. You know, what isn't going so well? So we focus on it. What's our next step? Now, just three little simple things, but, you know, again, boys can only handle so much in a moment.
Bill and I talk about this a lot because we both absolutely love coaching. And so I'll ask each of you, there is a joy, or for me, certainly an utter joy in coaching people to try to get better. Is there a moment or two or even a descriptor that you, Zach, let's start with you, what takes you to the Winter Play? What really helps you buzz?
It has to be the kids. Just seeing their joy and that sense of accomplishment after a performance. I think that's the proudest moment because sometimes, that's the only buyback you get is seeing them shine on stage and just going, they have absolutely loved every moment of being on that stage.
How good is that? George?
For me, it comes afterwards, possibly 10 years afterwards, when I meet them in the street 10 years later and we have a few chin wags about certain games and certain wins and things like that. That's very, very rewarding because you know you've done something to help develop this kid.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And what about you, Rob? Probably the youngest of the group.
Yeah, but very, very similar to George. When I presented to the boys for the first time, I'd come off a birthday, I think it was, with a whole bunch of old Zav boys that I'd played footy with. And a couple of the comments there were, year 12 football was one of the best periods of my life. So I think if we can get the boys to leave and then in 10 or 20 years' time, they're saying that same thing, that, you know, the school in year 11 and 12 for the first team majority was their best time of their lives. And we've done a pretty good job, I think.
I loved, it's a couple of weeks ago now, Bill, Robbie before the game put up on the whiteboard for the first footballers, what makes a great teammate? And it really just made me think that that's a great way of asking boys to explore someone else, not themselves.
Yeah, correct.
It was terrific.
It's, and I think, you know, we speak often about sort of leadership and we often, Xavier, also like to speak a little bit about followership and, you know, what does it take to actually be part of it? And I think every person plays both roles. So there's actually to go to roles that we might play. But, there's a time when the captain is an absolute follower. And he's doing just those fundamental little things that they need to do to allow, the team to actually perform at its best. I had a great book I've enjoyed was a Captain's Class, which was out of a Washington Post journalist who was intrigued by what's the greatest teams of all time. But ultimately, he had the sense to look through that to say, well, actually, when I've all said and done, what made them great? And one of the interesting things he brought it back to was the captain. And the captain was often an understated individual. He wasn't the superstar. It wasn't Pelé. It wasn't Michael Jordan. But it was this person who just brought out the best in everybody. Mm. And often through, real diligence and hard work and sometimes a little bit of grunt and absolute courage and determination. But, there's these great moments, aren't they, where you're sort of you're putting the little orchestra together and allowing these boys to flourish. Yeah.
Well, look, we'll come back and say thanks in a moment, gents. It's been a fantastic Zav chat, but we do have to go around the grounds.
Yeah, thanks, Heels. The Year 12s had the GAT this week and accelerating Year 11 students, so that was something we sort of can't really prepare for too much, but it's a really big moment in our VCE journey, so hopefully we got some good results and put our best foot forward, especially as Will alluded to, that it is a pretty big thing if we miss an exam. Mm. While that happened, the Year 10s and 11s, 9s and 10s, sorry, were on colloquium and Year 9 Personal Formation Day, while everyone else was still sitting their exams. From there, we also had the Ignatian Youth Leadership Conference at Burke Hall, which was yesterday on the Wednesday. And it was just a great opportunity for the Burke Hall boys to engage in leadership conversations with other leaders from other Jesuit schools. So that was really important. And then today's a student free day ahead of our big Feast of the Sacred Heart tomorrow on Friday, which is the Poor Man's Mass. It celebrates sort of the work that the Catholic Church does for the homeless, and particularly we've been doing a lot of work collecting donations for the homeless this winter through our Feast of the Sacred Heart program. And on the topic of this podcast, we've got the winter sport round this week, as well as Mr. Von Hoff's boys preparing for the winter play. So thanks, Seals.
Oh, thanks, Wilbur. Great around the grounds. This has been a great episode.
Yeah, it was so awesome to sort of dive into what three very different but similar teams and groups are doing within the college during the winter sports season and the winter play. And I think it ties really well into last week's episode, if you haven't listened, about values-driven sort of teams and what we sort of value and how we measure it. And yeah, I'm looking at three head coaches right now or producers right now with three different groups at our school that are doing so well. So thanks so much.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Zach, good luck early term three. And I think George and Robbie have got Wesley for one game before the term break. So good luck to you both as well. Thanks for coming in today. Been a lot of fun.
A great episode, guys. Wonderful having you in. And I must admit, I do enjoy these little threads that go through, because everything that you do on stage and on field, you can see it come up, you know, in a house. You can see it come up in a tutor group environment. You know, you hope that all these little lessons, you know, the A and the B game, Robbie, come out in the middle of an English exam when it's not maybe going so well and you've got a few negative thoughts, and how do you get through, and then how do you take that into your job interview and in tertiary life. I think it does resonate for our boys. So we're terribly appreciative of the wonderful role modelling and inputs that you've given. It's great having you on today.
Yeah, spot on, Bill. And I'll just mention again, only one episode for the term to go. That's next Thursday. I think we're inviting Father Chris next week, which will be a lot of fun. But with George telling all his friends from Scotland and Australia, our audience numbers will treble this week. But you can find us on Spotify, so please tell your friends. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Wilbur.
Thanks, Shane.
And we'll see you 7 days hence.